here back here on Wrestling Observer Live, the new Saturday morning edition, live every Saturday, 10 a.m. Pacific, 1 Eastern, Sports Byline USA Radio Network, replaying 5 Pacific, 8 Eastern tonight. Mike Sempervivi is here on the line, and Mike, how you doing today?
I'm doing fantastic, Brian. I don't know who I want to thank more, Sports Byline for giving us another day, or Colt Cabana and CM Punk for giving us something to talk about on our very first Saturday.
That's right. This show is going to fly by. We've only got an hour today, and in a half hour, we're going to be joined by the Ring of Honor television champion, Jay Lethal, is going to be on the show. One of my favorite wrestlers, and I'm not just saying that because he's been on the show. If you've been listening to the program of late, you've certainly heard us talking about Jay Lethal. Final Battle is coming up. We're going to talk about that. But man, the phone lines are already ringing. 855-478-4478. Let your voice be heard on the program today. To the phones, you are on the air. Who is this and where are you calling from?
Hey, it's Sammy from New Jersey.
What's up, Sammy? First caller.
Yes. Is Jay going to be taking calls?
Probably no. We only got him for about 20 minutes today.
All right, well, tell him the Sheik from JAP says hello.
I will do that if I recall.
Okay, and maybe he's listening now. I just wanted to tell you, only because of the day of your birthday, that my birthday is June 13th.
Wow.
I believe that's become a day in infamy this week.
I guess that will be a day that lives in infamy.
All I can say is that was a very amazing listen, and I've been trying to get like my friend to really listen to the whole thing because I was intrigued from almost the entire beginning. It's a great story that he told. He's a great storyteller. That's the one thing I want to take away from that, is that it was just amazing hearing his stuff. But most of the stuff, a lot of people kind of knew, I think. Not everything, but a lot of the people kind of knew. But yeah, it was an amazing listen, and I recommend everyone who hasn't to just play it. That's it.
All right. Well, I want to thank you very much for the call, Sammy. I got to say, Mike, in terms of the Punk interview, I did a big update on it a couple of days ago. It is a must listen on Colt Cabana's Art of Wrestling podcast. There really wasn't, I shouldn't say that. The medical stuff was news to me. I didn't know about his staph infection. I didn't know about all of the stuff involving concussions. But like, as far as a lot of the backstage politics and everything like that, I mean, this is stuff that we've been talking about and reporting on for a long time now, years actually. I mean, things I remember saying in 2007, 2008, when he was being brought up to the main roster, and how Triple H was not necessarily a fan of his, and he talked about that same thing during his interview. Was there anything on the show? What were the big takeaways for you in terms of new information and surprises?
Really, again, because we've talked about it so much, there were not a lot of surprises with the exception. To me, it was we knew what kind of what his side was, and it just reinforced that. And it was great to hear it in his own words and to be so relaxed with his friend Colt Cabana and just, you know, talking about everything and airing it. That was really refreshing to hear. I think the biggest thing for me is like for you and for most people, the Dr. Amon and the whole deal with the medical part of it. I think that's really the most shining thing to come out of this that I think, you know, would lead into more questioning. I mean, it's not like people don't have things to say about Ryback. It's not like, you know, the blow up between, you know, him and Vince McMahon and Punk's attitude, which we talked about a lot on this show too. But we actually get to understand exactly why his attitude was so bad, feeling the way he was and, you know, feeling terrible and being banged up and being hurt and being concussed and having all these things happen. And then to hear what he said about how he was treated medically, well, yeah, I'd probably be pretty upset too.
All right, to the phones. You are on the air. Who is this and where are you calling from?
This is Ed from Cleveland.
Ed, what's going on?
Yeah, I'm a huge Punk fan, obviously, and I love the podcast. I love that it broke the net and everything. And I agree with the whole Dr. Amon thing. That was just way out of left field and something I would not think or not hope that they would be that incompetent on not checking his back and letting stuff go on. And I thought, yeah, WWE's maybe a little bit wonky, but after hearing that, I was perplexed. And as a shareholder, I'm kind of ticked.
You are a shareholder.
A shareholder.
So you have one share, is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
Hell, you know, over the course of a million years, that might be worth a lot of money. But hey, you know, that's the one thing. That is the one thing that WWE commented on when they responded to Yahoo, when Yahoo asked them about the interview. I mean, that was all they said was we take the health of our performers very seriously. That was the only thing they have said in response to Punk's podcast. And I presume they will be defending themselves, and there will be a lot more concussion tests, I would guess, over the next many months.
I certainly hope so. And have you heard about the, I don't know if it's just rumors or just BS, but the fact that a lot of people are doubting that Amon actually exists, that he's just a ghost doctor?
That is an odd rumor. I can confirm that he exists.
Okay.
They do have a medical team. Whether they're lazy or not, as CM Punk said, that's a different story.
All right. I want to thank you very much for the call. Back to the phones. You are on the air. Who is this and where are you calling from?
Hey, Brian and Zipperivi. This is Shane from Orange County.
Shane, what's going on?
Hey, I had a question. There's a rumor going around the web that Ring of Honor is going to pull their talent from the vastly superior PWG. Do you guys have any input on that or...
That is a complex rumor. The way I understand it, there are different contracts that people have in Ring of Honor. Some guys are pretty much under full-time deals, and other people are on more per-date style deals. And so if you're on a full-time deal, they're a little more strict in who can work where as opposed to those people that are on individual event dates. So I don't think you're going to see guys pulled. At least that's like the official word. I mean, there is a little bit of concern because allegedly there have been guys that have worked PWG shows and suffered injuries. And obviously they don't want their talent suffering injuries on other shows and then being unable to work Ring of Honor events. So where there's smoke, there's fire. But right now it's not like a full-fledged, none of you can work on PWG sort of deal.
Okay, for sure. I was going to say, that'd be really dumb. It's the only reason I've ever cared anything about ROH talent is because of them being in PWG. So that's just going to lose a few more pay-per-view buys if they pull the guys from us. So,
well, we'll see how it works out. But I think there will be some guys there for the foreseeable future.
For sure. Well, thank you guys so much.
All right, thanks so much for the call. Really appreciate it. All right, back to the phones. You are on the air. Who is this and where are you calling from?
Oh, hello, Brian. How you doing today?
I'm doing fine. Who's this?
This is John from Memphis, Tennessee, the Vincent Verheyer mark.
I'm so glad to hear you this morning. What's on your mind?
Well, let's see. I could talk about Sting or I could talk about CM Punk, but I'm going to talk about, first, let me talk about Sting. I'm kind of shocked that Sting actually did do the Survivor Series, and I was kind of shocked by that, but I really want to talk about Punk. That two-hour interview that he did with Colt Cabana, I got a couple questions to ask you. Since you and Dave do have sources inside that company, and you were stating your figure four data yesterday, that you say that pretty much almost every source that you say was in agreement with him, both the supporters and the haters on him. You that's what you did say yesterday?
Well, what I said was there are a lot of people who like Punk, and there are a lot of people who really do not like Punk. But even the people who do not like him were happy that he went on the podcast and basically aired everybody else's dirty laundry. Because it is true that there are a lot of guys in that company who are terrified to speak up. There's nobody asking questions, and Punk went on the air and let the entire world know about all of this. We actually have to head to a break, so stand by. We'll pick you up again when we come back from the break. Wrestling Observer Live on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network. We are back here on our Saturday morning live edition of Wrestling Observer Live every Saturday, 10 a.m. Pacific, 1 Eastern, here on the Sports Byline USA Radio Network. One quick thing before we go back to the phones. If you have been listening to this show for years, and I go on and on about how you should subscribe to WrestlingObserver.com. If you head up to WrestlingObserver.com right now, from now until Monday, we are doing a special we have not done in a decade. You can get a full month of WrestlingObserver.com for only $3.99. Every brand new show we do, every archived show, 6,000 hours of archived audio, the Wrestling Observer Newsletter, Figure Four Weekly, my whole spiel that I do every week, that is all available to you, a full subscription for only $3.99. I want to thank everybody who has come back already. We've been flooded with new subscribers. You can join the fun this month. $3.99. Head up to WrestlingObserver.com and check that out. Back to the phones. Vinny V's biggest fan is here on the line. And proceed, my friend.
The 2 hours that he did was shocking, was strange, was very blunt. He talked about, I'm not going to get into details, which you already have done, but I just want to know, I just got a couple questions to ask you.
All right, go ahead.
One, what do you think it's more of a question for you. What do you think is the ramifications for AJ? What do you think is going to happen to her if career-wise after he literally spilled his guts to the public, to a free podcast, which is one of the most popular podcasts, not just wrestling podcasts, but popular podcasts in the world today. What do you think is ramifications for AJ on this?
Well, I think that it's going to be very rough for her. Can you imagine, Mike, if you're AJ Lee and you're walking around backstage at WWE and your husband has just done this podcast? Everybody hates your husband. Not everybody, like the management hates your husband. Management hates Colt Cabana. Everybody is very upset. I don't see her lasting. I don't see her being there in years. I don't know if she'll be gone like in 6 months or in a year. I don't think they're going to drive her out. I'm sure there's that part of them that would love to keep her in the title picture to show she's always on the road and away from her husband. What do you think the future of AJ Lee is?
I can't see her being there, you know, for years either. I mean, maybe months, just because obviously the money's got to be great. I know she sells merchandise, so, you know, the money's good. So it's beneficial that way. She does have the support, I would assume, or her husband has the support of a lot of the guys in the locker room, in that they may not agree or may act the same way CM Punk does, but they completely agree with some of the things that he said about the company, which they can't say or really won't say for fear of retribution. So she'll have the support of those people as well. But she doesn't need AJ Lee loves wrestling. She doesn't necessarily need WWE wrestling, I think, to be happy. I could see her in Japan. I could see her showing up in Shimmer or Shine or one of these promotions because she just loves it. So that's the one thing that got taken away from her husband and got, you know, sucked away from him, was the passion and the love for it. And she may not want that to happen. And also, she's got a husband to go back to who seems to be financially secure, who seems to be incredibly happy right now. So I think it'll be tough to kind of get the glances or have to be put in certain positions from management. But I think in her case, she's very lucky in that she could drop the whole thing right now, go home, and I think be completely happy. And that's, again, that was a big, bright, shiny thing, too, that came out, was how unhappy, you know, CM Punk was. We all heard about it, but to hear him say it and to hear his downward spiral go towards where he just absolutely hated it, and it wasn't recent. It wasn't just in the lead-up to the Royal Rumble or anything like that. This has been a long, ongoing thing that has just completely driven him nuts.
If you want to give us a call, 855-478-4478. To the phones, you're on the air. Who is this and where are you calling from?
What's up, Brian and Mike? It's Chris from Nacogdoches, Texas.
What's up, Chris?
Oh, not much. I heard y'all just talking about AJ Lee, and I think that's the biggest question in the short term out of the blowback from this whole CM Punk podcast is how's she going to be treated and what's her future with the company? And speaking of that, since Jim in Virginia nor Ed have called in about women's wrestling, I have a scoop.
Oh, really? You're going to out-scoop them? This I got to hear.
I'm going to out-scoop them, yes. Well, last night in Mexico, I was actually able to stumble upon Twitter and find the feed for it, the stream for it, the live stream. Ivelisse debuted for AAA last night.
Wow.
Yeah, which is, and really good match. She was she came in as a mystery partner, the team with Fabi Apache, to go against Sexy Star and Taya Valkyrie. Well, I believe Taya is Lance Storm trainee. Am I correct on that?
She is. Lance Storm trained Taya Valkyrie.
Lucha Underground star.
That's right.
Yes. Yes, and I think looks like they're doing something with her and Sexy Star as far as feuding. So I don't know if that means she's going to be in Mexico more for AAA or if this is just something playing off the Lucha Underground. I don't get El Rey, so I haven't seen much of Lucha Underground, but I understand that she's had some stuff on Lucha Underground, you know, kind of working with Sexy Star there. So I don't know how it's all going. But there was also another debut last night, Ricardo Rodriguez.
Oh, really?
Doing the ring announcer gimmick for Alberto, which is Alberto El Patron now, I guess.
That's right. He's no longer Alberto Del Rio.
Yes. And he actually came in full tuxedo and did a run-in in the match and almost ate it on a couple dives he did, I guess, because he's getting, you know, tuxedo shoes. You know, they're not exactly the best for trying to do moves off the top rope or dives, you know, through the ring, through the ropes and whatnot. So, it was pretty cool. It was a really good show. Very American style main event they had with a street fight with Alberto El Patron. Came out, you know, dressed in jeans and t-shirts and very American. So anyway.
All right. Well, I want to thank you very much for the call and the update. And I wasn't joking earlier when I talked about how if WWE just buried AJ Lee, it would be so obvious what was happening. So by keeping her in the title picture, they are making sure that she is on the road at least 4 days a week. And when she's on the road, she's not at home with her husband. You know, her and Punk talk about how they still have to do date nights whenever she's home. I mean, it is a very, I don't know the right word to describe this strategy, but it is, I don't know if ingenious, diabolical? What is the word, Mike?
Diabolical would probably be a good way to put it. I mean, obviously Vince McMahon has had that WWE has had a reputation in the past for, I mean, if they want to needle you hard and draw real blood, painfully, they can do that. I mean, look what they did to fire Punk. You know, the story he told about getting the FedEx in the mail saying he was fired, perfectly timed on his wedding day. So it's not like they won't, and they've had a history of putting people in positions to drive them nuts or try to make them quit.
There was so much stuff on that podcast that just blew my mind. His comments about Ryback, he's not a fan of Ryback. He actually called Ryback steroid guy, which was, he ain't blunt, or he is blunt, I guess. Ryback has responded on Twitter, and then he took it all down. Probably at the decree of WWE. I think WWE's strategy is, let's not call attention to this in any way. Do not tweet about Punk. Do not tweet about the interview. I just got an email a couple of minutes ago from somebody in WWE who, and this should not be a surprise, very likely that there will be no more WWE guests allowed on Colt Cabana's podcast.
Really?
He's now on the list, believe it or not. Shocking, I know. He's joined us, in fact, since we're on the no guest list as well. But who cares? We've got Jay Lethal coming on the show in the next segment here. Funny that we open up the phone lines and everybody is calling about CM Punk, and only one guy has called about Sting. And when he called about Sting, he actually had nothing to say about Sting. He just wanted to move on to talk about CM Punk. Sting did debut at Survivor Series, Mike. What did you think?
I really thought that was a good way to do it, and obviously sets up, or at least, you know, seems to set up Triple H and Sting would be the match at WrestleMania. It won't be Undertaker, it won't be Rock, it'll be those two. And hey, I'm fine with that. That makes complete sense. You know, there's only so many options you can have in there with Sting, and Triple H is probably a really, really good guy for Sting to go in there with. You know, it's amazing to see CM Punk. This is one of the big four pay-per-views. Now, granted, the build-up to it was nonsense. It was not a all-time historic card. It was a very, very poor card that was, you know, $9.99 on the WWE Network. So it was a really good way to end what was a bad show. Dean Ambrose and Bray Wyatt on there. I thought I thought it was good. I don't think it was as good as a lot of people have hyped it up to be. I thought it was just a solid, good match that was, you know, leading up to what was going to happen at TLC. And the main event was great. Everything else was really a complete throwaway. And just, again, they kind of limped out of it on Monday night, too. I figured they would have something big on Monday, and I guess they did with the return of the anonymous Raw GM. But that's not enough. And again, the rest of the 3 hours of that show were very, very poor job coming out of it.
One thing that not a lot of people have talked about is the fact that Sting debuted and went face to face with Triple H and laid him out and cost him the Authority. That means it's likely Sting versus Triple H at WrestleMania, and that also means it looks like Undertaker has made the decision. No WrestleMania this year. We're going to head to a break, everybody. When we get back, Jay Lethal talking Ring of Honor and more. Wrestling Observer Live here on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network. We are back here on Wrestling Observer Live. Brian Alvarez and Mike Sempervivi here. Saturday morning debut of the show. 10 a.m. Pacific, 1 Eastern. Sports Byline, USA Radio Network. Sirius Satellite Radio, the American Forces Network, Cable Radio Network, the most listened to pro wrestling and mixed martial arts radio show in the world. Replay this afternoon at 5 Pacific, 8 Eastern, and we're back live tomorrow at 3 Pacific, 6 Eastern on Sports Byline USA and Sirius Satellite Radio. Very happy today to be joined by the Ring of Honor television champion. Jay Lethal is here on the program today. Jay, how you doing?
I'm doing great. I no longer live in New Jersey where it's freezing. I live in Tampa where I barely need a jacket to go outside. I love it.
Oh, man, you lucked out today. It's snowing here in Seattle. It's cold and miserable.
Oh, God.
Mike is probably 10 feet under snow right now in Delaware.
No, it's just cold, though. Man, is it cold.
I tell you, I wake up with a smile on my face knowing that I'll never have to shovel snow ever again.
Now, Jay, I got to start with this. I realize this sounds like I'm just putting you over because you're on the show, but you can go back. Anybody can go back and listen to the shows that I have done long before you were ever booked for this show. You have become one of my favorite performers on television every week. Everything you do entertains me. Everything from the matches to your hairdos. It's incredible what you have. I don't even want to say you've transformed into. You've been Jay Lethal forever. But I want to start today by talking about your influences in wrestling. Who are the guys? I mean, you know, you've done the impersonations of Randy Savage and such, but who are guys that you've really looked up to in terms of performers?
Wow. Okay. So besides the obvious, Ric Flair and Savage, like you said, I have this burning passion for Tully Blanchard and Arn Anderson. Not too many people know, and I don't really tell too many people, but I mean, every time I'm at home and I get the itch to put in a wrestling tape or wrestling DVD, it's always something to do with Tully and Arn. I mean, not to expose too much of the wrestling business, but their style of wrestling, It just motivates me so much how they, you know, they were the heels, you know, how they put those baby faces over at the start of the matches. They didn't really have any moves either. They didn't need them. And it was all about these creative ways to make the baby faces look good. I just love them. I love them to death. But those are two of my biggest influences. That actually, I never really give them credit whenever I do any kind of interview, which is really crappy of me to do. But yeah, those two, unreal. They're unbelievable.
You had a spot in your match with ACH that I rewound so many times. And when people rewind matches, it's usually like, oh my God, this crazy move. I've got to see it again. This wasn't even a move. You and ACH are in the corner, and he goes to give you a chop, and you gave him a death stare. And you intimidated him out of chopping you. And so he didn't, but then he decided he was going to try it again, and you shot him the look again, and you guys had this staring battle over whether or not ACH was going to have the temerity to chop you. And you finally stared him down, and he didn't chop you. I don't know if that was planned. I don't know if anybody else in the whole world noticed it except me, but I just thought that was the funniest spot I've ever seen. Was that organic? Did that just come about as you guys were in the ring?
It was very organic. One of the things I've been trying to do lately, Truth Martini has been helping me with this, is, you know, we go out there and we perform and we try to put on the best show for the fans, but you got to get into this mindset that this is legit real, this is legit a fight, and you want to get those true emotions. You want to portray, you want the fans to actually believe that this could actually be real. And if you don't feel, at least in my opinion anyway, if you don't feel that this is real, then it's going to be a little harder to portray that. Truth Martini is actually helping me with that. And that was like legit, like, I don't like this guy. And chopping, of course, chopping would never kill someone. It's just more so aggravating, in my opinion. And this guy's, I hate his guts, and he thinks he's going to chop. It's so hard to get into it when I'm trying to explain it. But, yeah, that was just totally organic, and I could even draw some of past experiences where I got into I never fought with any of my brothers, but sometimes we did get a little into it, a little heated. And I do remember one of my older brothers kind of like almost drawing his fist back kind of a little bit, and I was just so – the nerve of my brother, like, rearing back.
How dare he?
Strike me, you know? I was able to pull some of that in there, too. It's just, but yeah, like I said, Truth Martini, who's been, I don't even think he knows how much he's helped me. He's, in my opinion, a genius when it comes to wrestling, and he's been able to help me with little tiny things like that.
And then you guys did the spot where he was outside and they were teasing him being counted out due to injury. He had his face dropped on the table, if I recall correctly. And they're teasing that he's not going to be able to continue. And he finally, he powers up and he starts running back to the ring. And the very first thing he did was chop you as hard as he could. And I was like, I don't know if this was like, if this was organic as well, but what a great spot for the beginning of his comeback. He chopped you.
How dare he?
Yeah.
Thank you. Oh, man, you're making me blush right now. Yeah, I just, and the reaction that Chop got from the crowd, and then we just, it just turned it up another level. Then we started fighting back and forth on the outside. Yeah, I mean, I just love stuff like that. And when I picture that stuff in my head, I automatically picture either Ric Flair being that one that gets chopped on the apron, or Tully or Arn, because those three guys, man, they're just amazing.
You know, one cool thing about Ring of Honor these days is you're only 29 years old right now, but you've been doing this a long, long time. And
nearing in on, what, the 13th anniversary of your start here.
That's right. That's right. And you, I mean, it's very clear that you're one of the veterans in there. And there are a lot of other veteran workers as well that are in Ring of Honor. But there are also a lot of younger guys. And they really come across on TV like they're a little younger, they're a little greener, they're a little crazier. But they're in the mix. And there's an attempt to elevate them. And I don't know, I guess you kind of see it in WWE these days with some of the younger guys. But it's more obvious to me in Ring of Honor. What is the dynamic like in terms of the veterans and the young guys? I mean, I presume that everybody's trying to help each other out, but what do you feel is your role in the company right now?
See, I maybe I'm naive, but I don't think I'm the veteran at all. There's still much I don't know and much I feel I don't do well. And I've even heard some of the guys just jokingly say, oh, you know, you're like the veteran of the locker room. I don't know, something about me hates hearing that. But it should be an honor to hear that, you know, I don't know. And like guys like Caprice Coleman, who do it all the time, ask me to watch his match, or what do you think I need help on? And guys like Cedric Alexander and Adam Page. And part of me feels that I'm on the same level as those guys. Hey, we're all just trying to better ourselves here. We're all just trying to presumably make some money and make Ring of Honor grow as big as we can. We're all out to help each other. I even Truth Martini has said, yeah, you're the veteran here. and I just, something about it just feels wrong to say to me. But that being said, I do realize and understand that I have been through a lot more in the wrestling business than some of the other guys have. And any chance to help any of them, I mean, I don't think any wrestler, because we're all egotistical, I don't think any wrestler would ever turn down someone asking for his advice. Because it's like an ego booster, you know. No one else, this guy, the nerve of him wanting my advice, you know. No wrestler ever says that. So I'm always willing to help someone who wants the help. But, I don't really consider myself to be a veteran of the locker room. I honestly see us all on the same playing field. We all trying to make Ring of Honor grow as much as we can.
You're facing Matt Sydal at the Final Battle Show, which is coming up on pay-per-view, everybody. Traditional pay-per-view, November 15th, Terminal 5 in New York City. And it is a television title match, obviously. Matt Sydal is a very interesting fella. I don't know if a lot of people are aware of that, but he's a very quirky person. any good Matt Sydal stories that you can tell here in preparation for destroying him at this pay-per-view?
When I was in Ring of Honor years ago, Matt Sydal, who was on the upper card, I never got to work with him then. We've never had a singles match ever. And my dealings with him now have been very select since we've just pretty much almost just started this little program here. I have had the pleasure of dealing with his brother, and if he is anything like his brother, very quirky, very, I'm going to say, bendable, flexible, very into yoga. Matt Sydal actually came by my training facility that I have in Tampa, Florida, with a buddy of his. And, sometimes it's weird talking, and he reminds me of a Spanky. I don't know if you've ever gotten to hang out with Spanky.
Oh, yeah.
His views in life and how everything could be related to some kind of conspiracy theory.
Spanky once told me that the sun was actually cold.
Is that right?
Yeah.
And I'm sure he believes it.
I'm sure.
Those guys are awesome. But yeah, I've never had much dealings with Matt Sydal, so I'm actually pretty excited about this program that we're entering. And I just consider him to be a phenomenal athlete. I haven't seen much of his work after he got hurt. You know, he hurt his leg, his foot. And I heard Sanjay is one of my best friends, you know. Sanjay said, I saw his foot the other day and there's like a bone sticking out of the top or something.
That doesn't
like that.
Sound good.
It doesn't sound good at all, but when you watch some of his matches, and he doesn't look like he's missing a beat or his foot is bothering him at all.
Well, it's pro wrestling. You know you got to go work on that leg now.
That's true. I got to zero in on it, just like a party. Like I said, you got to get into this mindset that I'm in there and this is real, so I'm going to have to bite his foot a couple times.
Now, unfortunately, we're running very low on time, and I hope we can get you on another show and have a longer time to speak in the future, but I want to give you a chance. Obviously, the Ring of Honor Final Battle Show is coming up on pay-per-view November 15th at Terminal 5 in New York City. Traditional pay-per-view, everybody, not even online. You can go get it on your television set. And, I want to give you an opportunity to plug your school and anything else you'd like to get out there.
Sure. I have a school in Tampa, Florida. You can view it on my website, which is thelethalj.com, and J is spelled out J-A-Y. And much like everyone of my generation, everybody has a MySpace, a Twitter, a Facebook, everything like that, and all of those things that I own are all under The Lethal J. So my Instagram and my Twitter would be at The Lethal J, and my website would be TheLethalJ.com, and if I had a MySpace, it'd be MySpace/TheLethalJ.
I don't even know if you can go get one anymore, but I want to thank you so much for doing the show today. I really appreciate it. Thanks so much. We will hopefully be in touch for another longer interview at some point. And thanks, everybody, for listening. Back in just a moment with more here on Wrestling Observer Live Saturdays on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network. We are back here for the final segment of the show. Brian Alvarez here on Saturday morning, our new Saturday Wrestling Observer Live, every Saturday, 10 a.m. Pacific, 1 p.m. Eastern. Sports Byline, USA Radio Network, Sirius Satellite Radio, American Forces Network, Cable Radio Network. List goes on and on. Streams online at WrestlingObserver.com. These phones are going crazy, Mike. Unfortunately, we're out of time, everybody. But we will be back tomorrow, 3 Pacific, Sundays, 3 Pacific, 6 Eastern. And we've got a replay on Monday as well, 7 a.m. Pacific and 10 a.m. Eastern. If you want to call tomorrow, Sunday, that will be your opportunity. We're here Wrestling Observer weekends every Saturday and Sunday. And by the way, if you love the show and you've been waiting to sign up for the website but just didn't want to drop the $10.99, this month you can give it a shot for $3.99. All of the information is up on the front page at WrestlingObserver.com. Just $3.99 gets you full access to everything, including the occasional Adam and Mike Big Audio Nightmare. Isn't that right, Mike, as I guilt trip you into doing another show?
The last show we did is up there for free for all. You don't even have to take advantage of the website offer this month for $3.99, although you should.
That's right. And of course, I want to thank Jay Lethal for coming on the show today. We're going to get him for a longer interview on WrestlingObserver.com, only for subscribers. And again, $3.99 from now until Monday. This is your only chance. We haven't done this in a decade, maybe another 10 years before we do it again. So if you've been listening and you haven't signed up, $3.99 up at WrestlingObserver.com. Don't forget, Sunday, we are going to be back at 3 Pacific, 6 Eastern. We'll take all of your phone calls for 2 hours. We'll talk about Survivor Series, all of the news in pro wrestling and mixed martial arts. Thanks so much for making today a hit, everybody. I really appreciate it. We'll talk to you again Sunday afternoon. Wrestling Observer Live here on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network.